15 of Priestly on the Air. I'm Spirit.
I'm Dr. Baronicle.
I'm Biotrunk.
And I'm Shimon for Rock Hill Mountains.
Over to Dr. Baronicle with the news.
Thank you, Spirit. FreeTheBand.com, which was put up as a teaser in Bionicle Ignition number 3, is now updated. Before, we had this little teaser thing that really didn't have much on it. But now we have 2 games there, Boy Nui Challenge and Toanika Training. Boy Nui Challenge is basically the game where you search for the band. It involves finding clues and tagging Paraka to track them, and solving puzzles like something like Sudoku and all this other stuff. Toanika Training is more like Paraka Attack, where you have to rescue the Toanika. You start as Matora and you rescue the other Toanika while fighting Paraka and Zamor turrets and finding MP3s and stuff. We also have an interesting news report that explains exactly what Free the Band is. Supposedly, the All-American Reject, which is the band, were lost at sea or something on their rock yacht, or whatever it's called, and were taken hostage by the Paraka. So that's basically the story, and you can find them in the Boy Nui Challenge game. There are lots of little secret things at freetheband.com, little things you can click and get free downloads and stuff for them, and one of the downloads even includes a demo for Bionicle Heroes. So yeah, it's finally up and looks pretty interesting. And Greg F., I just want to call him that because I can't pronounce his last name, has given us information on the 3 collectible Zamor Sphere powers, the gold, silver, and black one. The gold, apparently, is to restore energy to someone whose power was sucked by Zamor like Hakan used in Ignition number 3 and Bionicle Legends number 3. The silver binds the target with the closest living being next to him by an energy chain, so they're basically, like, connected. And black tags the victim so that he can be tracked with energy pulses and that kind of thing. And over to BG Power News, the BBC number 38 semi-finalists going to breakfast are The Venus Flytrap by Liger, The Guardian by Tesseract, Kukurok by Roa McToa, and Canker Demon by Mischief Mecha. Now all these members are guaranteed 1-year premier memberships, but one finalist is going to receive the grand prize, and if you listened to last episode, I'm pretty sure you all know what that is. And the winners of the Storyline and Series contest, number 2, we have The Dweller Report by our very own Spirit.
Woohoo!
In the Metro Nui Rahaga Defense Mission category. We have Tentacles by Turaki, number 1 Lava Surfer, in the Mad Nui Rocky Battle category. And Hope by Lady Kopaka in the Boy Nui Disaster Survival category. And then we have the winners of the final contest, Epics Contest number 5. In third place for a Rudaka is, ironically, member Rudaka, with his entry from his Epic Elements Unleashed. In second place, we have me, Dr. Bionicle, for a Toa Ulda 2001 CD.
Yay.
In my Epic, Echoes Trials of the Creator. And in first place, we have T-Hybrid with his entry in his epic T-Tutumunga, I think that's how you say it. And he will be receiving a signed Comic-Con comic signed by Greg and a Barnes & Noble or Borders $7 gift card. So, yeah, congratulations to everyone who won something over the past 3 contests. And that will be the news.
All right, well, on to the discussion topics. Top number 1, the Storyline of Theories contest number 2 results.
You won that one, didn't you, Spirit?
Yeah, I won the Metro Nui category. And I was really, really, really happy I won this. I mean, I wanted to win the Epic contest too, but ultimately, this is, I don't know, like, not a better prize, but just a different kind of prize. Like, it would be good to win, like, signed comics.
It's the recognition
that
you...
You're official now.
Yeah. I'm wondering, because these stories have now become official, if they're going to be posted in a book or something, or on the Bionicle.com site, or if they're just going to just be BZ Power Knowledge.
Yeah, because with E-Reg won the Borok mystery thing, and for Maze of Shadows, Greg said that they never actually included it in the storyline. It was just PZ Power stuff, so.
Well, yeah, but.
It's probably the same for this.
I believe
for the other storyline theories contest, for renaming TreeSpeak into ShootSpeak, that actually got into one of the books.
Don't die, I believe, said something about that there will most likely not be any, like, media representation. I mean, it could be a possibility, but most likely, I think this will mainly just be a BZ Power thing, pretty sure.
I don't really pay attention to the, contests. It's something I really don't pay attention to much.
Yeah, me too. I just read all the stories so I could talk about this.
But I sometimes vote on, like, the mocking contests, but.
Yeah.
Don't normally pay attention to many of the others.
Yeah, that's kind of like for me. Like, if I'm not in a poll, I'm not really going to pay attention to the contest.
I entered Storyline Theories Contest 2, and I entered the Matt Nui category because the other ones didn't really appeal to me. I like working with Rocky because they're like, it's like you don't really get to know what they're thinking. They're just kind of, it's like brick walls you can throw, well not, that's a bad, that's a really bad analogy. But it's like just something you can just kind of throw around, sort of. So mine was a Rocky attack on an escort for supplies for Takoro, and the main character was Jawler, and basically he had the guard that fought off this giant Rahi ambush.
What kind of Rahi?
Pretty much all of them. I wrote the story in mind with the ending. Basically, what happens is that they all get inside Takoro, and then the bridge lowers right as Rahi, like, pounces, so they all, like, fall into the lava.
What did you think of how, in the final pool, how it was pretty much Rhea, who was in the lead for most of the thing, and then about the final 2 days, it kind of shifted into Turaki, who took the lead.
I see it in free polls and demi-polls, but usually it's not without an interval of like a few votes. BZB can be very unpredictable.
Did you ever read Ultimate Team Masters entry on SMT2?
Which one was that? That was where he uses the Kikori Nui. Am I thinking of the right one?
It was Natoya found out about the Krata and Metronome. That was the only one I read aside from Tentacles and Spirit Story. Yeah. I would recommend it in case you haven't read it yet.
Me and Spirit were both judges. Being a judge is hard. It's really testing my attention span, because I'm sorry, but despite my long posts and stuff, I do not have a long attention span. I have a shortish attention span. And I'm not insulting this number, I'm not gonna point this number out. He had a good entry, I think. But there was one member who had an entry, and I thought it was a good entry, but it was basically the writer's first language wasn't English. So, you know, it was kind of riddled with a lot of grammatical errors because of
that
consequence. So I was just going through this, and I just had to. It was like just crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's like I have to point out every little thing, and it's kind of hard to catch it all.
It's like he wanted to was going to Takoro or something, right?
Yeah, it's like what are proper grammar, that kind of thing. The nice thing for story contest judges, I mean, they do a lot of reading too. It's hard to be a story contest judge, I'm sure, but it's not usually. They don't have to point out every like error. And, like, explain what they need to do.
That must be part of the Save the Eyesight campaign.
Well, at the end of the S&T contest, because I was a judge, I walked down the street and people would stop and say, hey, aren't you that guy from the Lord of the Rings movie? Big orange eye, because my eyes were so swollen. So I gave it a few autographs.
I saw it in everybody's signature, and I was confused what it was, and I finally read it.
I thought it was a great idea, you know?
It was just that. It was a fun little thing.
I feel really bad for Monkey Monkey. He was in both. He did the Storyline Theories contest and the Epics contest. So basically, you know, he's like, save both my eyes. Send out a search party so they can sell them back in.
Well, for the Epics contest, it's a bit easier because you don't have to correct grammar and accuracy.
You still have to, like, look for it, but you don't have to correct it. That's pretty
good. Oh, really?
You don't have to type it all out.
Well, I think it was, like, mostly style. So, if you have bad grammar, you're just going to forget it.
You can correct bad grammar, but you can't correct style.
Yeah. Well, I can, but I'm just stubborn. It was kind of annoying for me writing this because I had limitations, and I hate limitations, like all Get Out. It's like I have to put it in these settings, and I can't have any real variation. I have to, it's like people can already figure out the basic outline of my story when they start reading it.
They didn't like give you a vague thing of what you're supposed to do. They really kind of made it straightforward, so I think that's what...
Yeah.
Well, the Voya Nui was pretty vague, and so was Matanui.
Yeah, it was pretty vague. You didn't have to choose your disaster and stuff.
Choose your disaster and how bad it was, but you had to repair it in the end, so...
Yeah, that must have been frustrating. You have to repair it. I mean, usually it's just like when you write something like that, it's usually just like the whole thing coming in and like devastating everybody. You usually don't have to like clean up after it and change like story.
Like maybe you could make some little thing at the end.
That's where I kind of cheated in mine because, well, like you're saying about a little thing at the end, I didn't put one. I kind of just did time cut to just not really talk about that. And so that kind of went over well.
I'm not really... category. It was basically you got to stage a battle and you couldn't kill any Matoran, but you could kill all the Rahi you wanted. But it was kind of annoying because, you know, I gave my guards, like, physical, like, weapons instead of discs because Bones I said I could. But it was so annoying because I couldn't stab anything. I mean, this guy's walking around with this giant sword and you can't stab anything. You go around, like, hitting them like a schoolmaster or something. Smack. And that's all I could do. Well, I think it's choke one, Rahi. The problem with being official is the whole non-violence campaign. Like, the whole non-violence policy. That's why I'm an RPG person, because I can be pretty violent there, you know.
That's one reason that I don't like normally doing the writing contests. Because, you know, you don't have much space to work.
There's so much limitations, yeah.
Especially if they have, like, a length limitation. I hate those.
Oh, yeah. That was the one thing that kind of annoyed me, was there was a word limit. I mean, especially for, like, the Voya Nui thing, you have to clean up after yourself. Basically, it's going to be you have to smack the thing real quick, and then there's not much room for emotional, like, reaction, and then you have to, like, scoop it all up into a dustpan. You know, that's just kind of hard to work into 4,000 words.
Hey, look, it's a monster. Fight monster. Oh, yay, we won. Quick, let's fix everything.
Yeah, see, that's why I did Matanui too, because I didn't have to wrap it up. I just had to win, and I always win.
Oh, that is a vile and odious lie!
In fiction, I always win, and I'm proud of it.
Topic number two, the Epic Contest number 5 results. So we have 2 champions with us right now, Dark Chronicle and myself.
Yay.
But I'm just a runner-up. I didn't put anything.
Yeah.
I just had my name said one more time.
It's kind of funny, because you got runner-up in Epic Contest number 5.
And aren't you happy?
And I got a Bonsai Honorable Mention in Contest number 2, which is cool. This was a tough contest.
Yes.
I can tell you probably haven't read my Epic, but my Epic is complicated. I'm not even going to try to explain it right now. Basically, I combine humans and Bionicle in a sense. Like, they don't interact, except for, like, in the Sonori chapter. Basically, a human, basically kind of controls the world of Bionicle, and there's this whole, like, other purpose behind it. It's weird. That's just the kind of thing I write. So it's really hard, because the way it works is it goes along official storylines. So, basically, I have to write in this completely random character that comes out of nowhere, that's a female, no less, in the Borok series. I'm dealing with biomechanical robots. So I can't really, like, just fit in a female there. Because, you know, I'm working with Borok and the Toa Nuva. So, I decided instead of having the Toa Nuva fight Sonori, I could just have the human guy fight Sonori. So.
Sounds like great evil twin.
Wouldn't you have had, like, a side character fight, not, like, in a side plot line in, like, some far-off portion of Powahi? There's the Borok are attacking in Sonori.
Well, I kind of wanted it to, like, intertwine with the story. I mean, that's just kind of like, it's like, oh, I just wanted to enter Epic Contest number 5, so I think I'll write this out of the blue. I wanted it to, like mean something to the actual story. The really fun thing about writing this was that, well, there were 2 fun things. The first fun thing was that before Sonori fights a human, she comes across a gang in New York, So basically they're like attack her. So she like totally like just completely owns them all. You know, it's just like complete ownage everywhere. And it's kind of, it's just funny because it's just a bunch of these dumb like gang members and they're fighting against this Dark Hunter and they don't even know it. And it's kind of funny because she's dressed up in like this like dark clothing so they don't realize what she looks like. So there's just this one instance where basically they find out she's female because they didn't know that before. So they just go like, dude, she's a chick. That was just fun to write in because it's like a bunch of stupid guys dealing with this like genius.
She didn't have to hunch down since she's like 7 feet tall if you really think about it.
The way I write it is that taller size, basically, it's a little taller than most people. It's like probably 6 foot. It's like tall by human standards, but it's not like tall, tall.
I'm 6 foot.
Like probably like six, I don't know, like 6'5" maybe.
Yeah, I remember hearing in a Bionicle DVD that was 7 feet tall, but you know, there's still a remaker, so.
So we're about slightly over 7 feet tall.
She's a short Bionicle character. I win. Did you guys ever get a chance to read the others?
No, I can't say I didn't. I read any except for mine and yours.
Yeah, I read T-Cat-Poot-Cat-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth-T-Tooth totally. That was just so, it was good. It was like really good.
I tried to read that, but it was like 11 at night, so I didn't get very far.
I read it at like 2 a.m. because I was bored and hyper. I think it was kind of funny how Rudaka got his prize. I mean, I think they might have done that on purpose. I mean, Rudaka winning Rudaka, that's just kind of funny.
Well, they can't have done it on purpose because Rudaka was an originally announced prize.
I was pretty happy because I got the prize that I was hoping for. Just getting a signed comic, that'd be cool, I guess. But, I don't know, I wasn't too hot on the gift card because I never go to Borders or Barnes & Nobles and I'd be, like, forced to buy a book.
Topic number 3, the Bionicle Collectibles Forum.
That doesn't really make a difference from the Bionicle promotions, because you notice most of the collectibles are actually promotions, like the Shadow Kata, and there's a vague difference.
By collectibles, they mean things like Zamora, Kanohi, like the ones you buy in the pack.
Oh, I kind of like the topics where they ask you about, like, what kind of collectible you love. Like, what was that one topic? Like, what's in it? Like, what would you put in the Zamor sphere? I like that, because I got some good ideas from that. I said ketchup.
I just put mashed potatoes, because then I'd shoot it at myself.
Wow.
A cool ketchup in my body.
Yeah, because Zamor go in you, they don't go on you. So that would be the awesomest way of eating. 5-minute conversation about other great things to put into Zamor spheres that was originally here has been removed due to explosive content.
Okay, that was solid. Well, how do you think this forum compares to the other ones?
There's usually just the same topics, and they've got a set of hot topics, and that's basically all. If you create a new topic, it'll get closed or die.
Such a small range to work with. There are only, like, 5 kinds of collectibles. We have masks. Well, actually, there's only, like, 4 kinds, because we have masks, we have Kraka, we have Zamor, we have Tanoka, and we have Rotuga, so there's, like, 5 kinds.
And Krona.
I can't count today. But I don't know, it's a pretty small range to work with, and that's why it's usually not very active. I like these topics, I see what mask power you've used, because, I think that if I was really faced with that situation, I mean, like, you know, like some people say Kowalski, I don't think I'd pick that at all. I mean, if I were faced with that situation, I would definitely pick Bakari. In real life, you can, that'd be awesome, that's like Clark Kent. Like a Kakama plus a Cadden plus a Bakari. That would be sweet.
Plus Laser Vision plus Nekaku.
A Nekaku, Bakari, Kakama, Cadden, Heat Vision. That would be so sweet. Because then, you have like everything there. You like get pulled out all the stuff.
Well, what about mind control? You can just...
Mind control is boring.
Why? If you had mind control in real life...
You could take over the world.
See, the thing about the Bakari is that if people don't agree with you, you make them agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, physically. Ow. That really hurt my hand. Ow. Gosh. See, this is why
I would either pick a mask of telekinesis and just lift myself out of there, or I would pick a mask of speed and run away.
Well, I don't know.
That's probably because I'm not much of a fighter.
Probably mental power, because it doesn't display much. I mean, it's not like somebody's like, hey, check it out, I can lift things in the air. What do you guys think of the conversion from, like stuff you wear to stuff you shoot? I mean, we had one year where it wasn't either. It was the Krata, but basically that's what it's been. It's either been like a mask or it's been like some, it's like been a projectile.
Well, actually, you could shoot the Krana and the Krata.
Well, the thing about the collectibles is that, like, Kunohai are basically what you call collect. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
It's basically, there's no other reason to get it except to collect it.
And see with it.
It doesn't really serve any purpose on the character except for something to knock off. Basically, it's the definition of collectible. And when you move over to projectiles, it's more like doing something with the set. I think that's kind of what they were doing there, just to, like, give the set an extra feature, kind of, I guess. It's just moving from, like, more of a collectible stage to use it.
Oh, I was reading a topic where they said they'd have Anika mask pack with like Anika masks in different different colors. Yeah, what if they did that but they had an axle so you could put it on like Toa Older Heads and Metro Heads?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, so you could include them with your MOCs.
Too bad they didn't though.
I have a mask question. How do you pronounce Kenobi?
Kenobi, I think.
No, Kenohi. Dr. Bionicle
is
always right.
Kenohi, Kenobi, like... That's all.
Yeah, I call the Toa Anika, and I call Lewa Lewa, and I call Kanohi Kanohi.
Kanohi?
A great Kanohi mask!
A great Kanohi mask.
This is the great Kanohi mask of light.
Kanohi.
I have my own pronunciation. I just read it, and I decide how it's pronounced. I don't care about your, like, British, like, Latin pronunciations. Jeez.
We don't want to make Dr. Bionicle unhappy.
Or do we? Topic number four, freetheband.com.
It's good that they updated it. Like, they had that, I think it's going to be a commercial, that little video clip. It's that kid standing there pretending to give a report, and he's saying
that
like
that.
That
kid is so awesome. He's so cool because he's got the redneck tie. I mean, the redneck tie, I mean, that kid's the whole thing class.
I appreciate thought their music video that they had on there. The lead singer in that music video kind of creeped me out.
You notice the rock wrote Crash and Boy Nearly? I don't know, that just struck me as like the Bermuda Triangle, like Boy Nearly Triangle or something.
More of a V shape.
The Boy Nearly V.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like, if you went into that little natural blend, actually, that could be the Bermuda Triangle.
It's
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of hilarious because you have to pick up NPCs on Boy Nearly.
Just this weird concept. Like you have to free the band
now,
from the Paraka. I mean, you just stop and you think, wait, it's
one
just like
G. One thing I should mention is that you don't have to play through the game to get the MP3s.
Yeah.
You can just search around the site, and it isn't too hard. I mean, search,
yeah.
Just, like, click the page and then press tab. That's easy, but then you can also do it the hard way and just look for yourself.
Yeah.
The games are pretty fun. I kind of like Train the Anika, because I get to shoot stuff. Kind of like Baraka Attack. It's kind of fun. I'm not a big fan of Holly when I play. I've only gotten up to Naparu. But I'm not a big fan of Holly because she fires expendable ammo. And that's just kind of inconvenient. You have to shoot, and then you have to pick it up. And if you're another Toa, you can't pick it up. So, kind of frustrating.
But she has such high attack that if you can actually hit, then it's entirely worth it.
Yeah.
As far as I've ever gotten in that game is... Jessica Holly, that's as far as I've gotten.
I got to Naparu, and then I made it to the next level, and then I just got killed.
I lost the clock and gave up, because I want to do the other game. It's actually a lot more fun.
Level 4 is so stinky, because you have to fight two Paraka. And, you know, I usually have, like, I have at least one total Anika by then, so I'm, like, just, like, dying.
Well, because of my slow computer, my slow keyboard mouse thing, I lost most of the Anika by the time I got there. So I only had Naparu left, and he was like at half health. So that was no fun at all. And then it froze while the Karaka kept on shooting me, and I just died. And I was like, forget this.
The first time I played Blue Bear, I found the first time I got past Sock was actually a glitch. Because Sock got stuck, and he couldn't shoot me, and he couldn't move. I just shot him and killed him.
Something I discovered in the game is that you can actually use your sword against the Paraka if you click on yourself, so they'll walk up to you, and this is like, don't try this because 9 out of 10 times it fails, but you can just keep on clicking on yourself and you'll just slash them with your sword.
Cool.
Well, what did you think of the Anika investigation game?
Kongu was using his sword to project himself into a Matoran. Right, that's physically possible for mind reading, or is it? Don't remember.
It's a telepathy mask, so it can, like, contact other minds.
Oh, but you can't really, it's not, like, mind control. control, really.
No, you can't control anyone's mind.
Congress is watching you while you're doing stuff.
It's kind of like this. You know, it's like I can communicate with you and you, I can hear everything you say, but I can't, like, control what you're doing. I
can't figure out how to tag the Soraka.
You catch them on the run, basically. And
you have to aim, and then whoever's down about halfway, that's what I did, hook down halfway, and if you get them while you're running, you can be lucky.
Well, I could never get my gun out.
It's spacebar.
Yeah, spacebar. And that brings up some kind of Zamorin and blow-light thing. And then you can fire black Zamorin and stuff.
It looks like a peanut gun. That's what it looks like. So awesome.
Yeah.
You just shoot peas with a Paraka.
It'd be like if your Bionicle would watch, but his Zamors didn't, he'd get a straw and shoot the knife at you.
So did any of you beat this one?
I can't say that I have yet. The first two levels are pretty much a breeze. Yeah, the puzzles. The puzzles are what kill me. I don't care about the Paraka. The puzzles, they kill me. Like, the first one was easy, because, you know, they give you hints. I mean, it's so easy. You can just figure it out. And then the second one's easy because it's Sudoku, basically. And I'm pretty good at Sudoku. There's a really small one. Then the third one. I hate the third one so much because it's just so annoying. Because I can't figure it out.
What is it?
Basically, it's a triangle puzzle. And you have all these, like, little pebbles. And you have one hole open. And basically, you're supposed to only leave one pebble behind by jumping over other pebbles into an empty space. Until you only have one. And I can't figure it out. Because it's so... it's just so annoying.
I can't get past Avic. Whenever you drag your mouse over, you get discovered and he just looks at you and you're game over.
But have any of you made it to the end?
No.
Don't you throw rocks at the Paraka at one point? I remember I was talking to Spirit about this.
Yeah, what you do is you find a stick on the ground and then you take it and then you use... what you do is you take the headband that you apparently wear to be awesome, so the description says, and you attach that to the stick, and you use it as a slingshot to throw rocks on the ground at the Paraka, so they fight each other, and they're like, hey, you hit me. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You suck. I hate you. Want to say that to my face? Maybe I do. And they just start fighting each other. Then what you do is you freeze them, or at them, and then they freeze, and then you tag them, and then you... That's it, the end. Congratulations, you found the band.
And you freed them.
No, you don't free them, you just find them.
The website itself reminded me of the old Paraka website.
Yeah. Well, the old Paraka website was dark.
Like, this is like the inverted Paraka website with a lot more content and kind of a brighter background.
Do you think it was a good choice to get the All-American Rejects? Because my friend hates Bionicle and he's like, oh my gosh, I got a commercial. It sucks. Because, you know, he thinks they're abusing the All-American Rejects.
Well, it might be a good idea. Well, if the All-American Rejects completely agree to it, then you can just tell them that, hey, you're dumb.
They could have gotten, like, Backstreet Boys from Hamsterville.
Barbershop Choir.
Oh, that'd be so awesome. Barbershop Quartet. That'd be so sweet.
Well, did any of you find the secret link to the fake fan website?
What fake fan website?
www.inikaunite.com. It's a fan website where, apparently these two guys, they've made this site about the All-American Rejects and how they're missing, and it's supposed to look like a fan website, but since it's kind of linked to freetheband.com, it's pretty obviously a fake.
Axon has an axe, which is probably named after him.
No.
Utaka, his name says all. Paraka, with a sarcastic side. Hakan is ready to rumble. You need to unite, like the site says. Don't fall for his deception. What's up, Jawler? Jawler is ready. Tentacles keep predators away. Blast off! If Rydok has... This is like a homestar running, but... If Rydok has a cover craft, it would not pass his mission testing. Bring it on! He won some! Zacton equals danger! What is this? That's just... Well, Axon has an axe, or just...
It'd be like if my parents were my uncle, but they didn't love it so much that I got all the books.
If Rydok had a hovercraft, it would not pass in the machine setting. That's just crazy.
How many of you guys found the hidden game demo?
I didn't. I barely looked through the site.
I searched frantically and found it. I downloaded it, installed it, and played a little bit of it. but not much.
I didn't play any of it.
I'm hoping this works a lot better than the Lego Star Wars demo, which I spent an hour downloading, and it didn't actually work because my video card didn't accept it.
I spent like 3 hours downloading it, and yeah, it didn't work. It's like action version of Lego Star Wars. It's like crossing the old Bioncle the game with Lego Star Wars.
Because it's made by the same people who made Lego Star Wars, isn't it?
Yeah, the same company. Yeah.
And Lego Star Wars, you know how when you use the Force, that little, like, little blue glow around it?
Yeah.
The same blue glow is in the game.
Is it like in Lego Star Wars where it depends on your character? Like, you know how Obi-Wan would have a blue lightsaber and he's the blue glow, but Qui-Gon would have a green lightsaber and he had a green glow?
It's kind of like that, but also in this game, you switch characters in the middle of the game. There's no character selection. Also, you can't save your dang game.
Well, it is a demo.
And it's not pretty good graphics. Or a Bioncle game.
How much compared to the other one? Bioncle the game.
Bioncle Heroes had a much better graphics than Bioncle the game.
I just looked at the trailer, but I don't see much difference, really.
When you're in the game itself, you really can tell. But the only thing, my only problem with the game so far has been the control scheme and the viewpoint. If they could change those, it'd be great.
Can you jump Bioncle Heroes?
As far as I've found out yet, no.
Aww. That's what I like about Lego Star Wars, the backflips and the double jumps and the combo moves. That ends the discussion part of the show. So, on to the audio questions. This one is from Jedi Master Jay.
Hello, Spirit. Hello, Dr. Barnacle. My question is, how do you make these radio-like shows?
We use a program called Skype, which is like a program that acts as a phone.
Do you use Audacity?
No, I use a program called Pamela, which records calls, and then I edit it with Audacity, or else the show's be like 2 hours long and boring.
Yeah, you have no idea what kind of weird stuff we have said during this recording.
And
we're not even allowed
to
tell you. See, that's basically how it works. Unless, of course, I'm recording, then we record it with the same program, and I have to stimulate the recording for a few months or something, and then I send it over to Spirit, who does the editing, and it still comes out, like, not very good, but basically that's how we run things around here.
So we're going to do the second audio question. This question is from Lovaside Rahi.
Hey guys, back in episode 2, I asked you about the then non-existent comics form. Now that it's here, I'm interested what you guys think about it.
Well, I moderated, so...
Yeah, that's why I saved it for this episode.
It's actually a lot tamer than I thought it would be. I was thinking that this would be, like, something I would have to keep my eyes on forever. You know, I just have to be smacking topics left and right, but actually, topic-wise, it's pretty good. People are pretty legal to the past.
Good, because if you get to laugh, you don't have to browse through the library.
The thing that annoys me is that I don't know, I must have a high standard of humor or something, because, I don't know, I don't care for a lot of these comics. I mean, I don't care for Food Obsession, and I don't care for completely insane characters. I just don't. I don't run with that.
Yeah, no, it's not just you. It's me, too. Some of the things are just really, really bad.
I've been spoiled by Bill Watterson with the Calvin and Hobbes series. I grew up with that. That's a Food Obsession. I don't see how it's funny.
Yeah, back how is Sprite funny?
Back when I was a noob, I didn't know what Sprite meant. How to use? I didn't know it was MS-Paint, so I always thought it was like actual Sprite. I was kind of wondering about that. They said, "Well, let's go write something." I'm like, "Are you gonna pour soda on your computer?"
Wow.
There are some comic authors that I really respect. There are some high standards here.
Sponsor Kokoro, I've always liked his comics.
How about the other things that go there, like not the Sprite comics, but Sprite movies as well?
Sprite movies is usually based off of comics, so it's usually pretty much the same quality, except that the characters moving, which can cause the quality to go down.
Yeah, well, what if it's something like my TSAs?
I think those are because they have voices, so you can follow it better, but if they're or have written text as the lines. If you miss something and can't really...
It's amazing, because I can't stand Food Obsession or Complete Insanity, but there's one comic series that I like. It's The Rise and Fall of the Toa. For some reason, I really like that comic, and I don't know why, because I'm usually just completely against that kind of thing, but I really like it.
Maybe it's because it's, like, actually uses real characters, and it's not just random poorly made razor sprites of random people you don't even know with crazy, unpronounceable names.
Yeah, I like that. He actually, like, builds on his characters. That's pretty cool. He actually, like, makes a plot. Like, most comic writers don't take the effort in doing that. I mean, I don't take the effort in doing that. I mean, he actually, like, takes a plot and just makes it funny. Pretty cool.
Yeah, like, I was going to do comics, but I really couldn't because I just couldn't keep up with that. Like, I was going to do some sort of action-adventure comedy series, but I kind of quit before I started.
So, I only have one announcement that I'm finally going to get around to actually putting that poll that's been in the topic for thousands of years. I'm actually going to use the results now and add a new feature at the end of the show that will probably make it a lot more fun. And so yeah, get your votes in because by the next show, I'm going to be announcing the results of that and the show is going to be completely reformatted. And I guess that's it. So that wraps up episode 15 of Free Speak on the Air. I'm Spirit.
I'm Dr. Bionicle.
I'm Biochunk.
And I'm Shinha Baraka Mountains.
What's up, Doc? You don't know how many times I've heard that line. Like, I get that all the time. What's up, Doc? Like, why don't you go bother Dr. T-Rock or something? I don't know. I still haven't given him episode 12 yet. It's gonna stick ninjas on me eventually.